Our reading today is from Hebrews 13, 1-8 and 15-16. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all. Let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So does any of this ring true for you? Have you ever intended to do something really loving but failed to follow through? Have you ever expected something in return for love? Have you ever, with the best of motives, done what you thought was loving, only to find out later it wasn't the right action at the right time, and you came across as insensitive, condescending, or manipulative? Have you ever tried to say loving, healing words, only to find that what you actually said further perpetuated a relational rift? Did you say yes to any of the above? I sure did. If you did too, you might be what's known as a love hack. Someone whose ability to love is flawed, broken, fallen. Or, in other words, you might be human. Now see if this sounds familiar. We live with our grand delusion that we give more than we take, that our intentions are nobler than they are, and that our actions are more loving than they actually appear. Isn't there a lot of truth in that statement? These thoughts are from a book by a former ministry colleague, Dr. Andrew Rankin. The book is called Do Love, A Love Hack's Path to Spiritual Maturity. The premise of his book is very simple. Christians are called to not just feel love or believe in love or say they love. We are called to do love. But we are fallen, so we are all love hacks, as he calls us, who don't necessarily know what it means to truly love. Does that sound about right? We're called to love, but we keep falling short. We're called to love, but we're confused about what that means. I think we all struggle on some level with actually doing love. Thankfully, the book of Hebrews offers some concrete ways that we can show love as individuals and as a church community and family of faith. But before we even get to those examples, we need to look to our number one example and model for love, Jesus Christ. Who was sent by God out of love. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn, but to save the world. It was all out of love. And Jesus came embodying God's love in the flesh, showing us the way to love one another. But it's a tall order to love like Jesus, isn't it? And yet, that's what we're called to do. It sounds pretty straightforward until you really start doing it, because doing love, the love of Jesus Christ, is not what comes naturally. And it's definitely not the kind of love we're bombarded with in our culture. Doing God's love isn't easy because we don't see many examples in our world of that real love. What we see is a bunch of movies, TV, internet ads, books about love that set us up for heartbreak, depression, anxiety, and pain, because the love we're seeing isn't real. And expecting our lives to look like that love isn't real, nor is it healthy. Yet how often have we tried to have the love the world advertises? In fact, a lot of the messages we receive in our culture about love are actually self-centered. Like, what can I get in this relationship? What do I want? What will make me happy? And thinking this way about love, it doesn't actually lead to any joy or happiness. In fact, it's a quick quick route to pain, not joy. So what is real love, and what are we called to do? Pastor Andrew Rankin defines love as an intentional act for the good of someone else. Notice the words intentional and for someone else. This also brings us back to our gospel lesson today in Mark 12. When asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's real love. Real love is selfless, not selfish, which is not easy. We naturally think of ourselves first and loving only the people we feel like loving. So how are we supposed to love others, especially if we don't feel like it? The great author and theologian C.S. Lewis had some fantastic advice. He says, act as if you did. Do not sit trying to manufacture feelings. Ask yourself, if I were sure that I loved God, what would I do? And when you have found the answer, go and do that. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. In other words, do love. Even if you don't feel particularly loving, do it. Love beyond yourself and your feelings. Remember the famous words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 to a community that was fighting and divided? His definition of love is this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. What if we looked for love based on whether it was love of God and neighbor, whether it matched this description of Paul? Think about the last relationship you saw on TV or in the movies that was about patience, kindness, no envy or arrogance or rudeness. Can you say that you've recently seen loving people who didn't insist on their own way or act irritable, resentful, or rude? Usually the answer is no. So if the world is confused about love, what can we do as Christ followers? Well, what if we made a decision to fill our hearts and lives with messages of real love, with true definitions of love? And what if we do that right here together in this church? What if we dedicated to time to read about it, pray about it, and then do it? Paul encourages this in Philippians 4:8-9. He says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure, whatever is pleasing, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So when have you seen or heard something truly inspiring about love? Who do you know that demonstrates real love? And how can we all make an effort to show that kind of love? In his book, Do Love, Rankin offers an interesting idea about how we might learn to really love. He calls it the love flywheel that has four parts to it. The first is see love in action. And the best place to see this is in the life of Jesus Christ. So if we wonder whether love we see is real, all we have to do is hold it up against Jesus' own life and ask, is that the way he would love? Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is our example, the ultimate model for love, and he was and is and will be that example for all eternity. So let's ask ourselves, where do we see real love? I see it all the time in this church, in spouses caring for one another, in children who care for their parents, or parents doing the very best for their children, in friends, best friends who are closer to one another than any blood relative. Next, we need to experience love. We have to know God's love for us and experience it firsthand, which means we have to take time for worship and prayer and Bible study and fellowship with other believers. That's why the church community is so, so important. Note that Hebrews 13 assumes we are in a church community. When was the last time you experienced the love of God in community? Sometimes it hits me during a song we're singing in worship, or as I'm listening to a Bible verse, or just when I'm praying. We all need to experience that real love of God and neighbor. The third step is commit to love. We have to make a conscious decision to love other people, just like C.S. Lewis said. So what if we made a commitment to truly love each other here at FPC? What would that mean? What would that look like? Finally, after we see it, experience, and commit to it, we do love. Once we see it in action and know it for ourselves, once we make a decision to live it out, then we go and do it. And doing God's love is key. It's one thing to say we believe in love, to say I love you. It's different to do that love and put it into action. And God wants us to actually do the love. 1 John 3:18 says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So love is a verb. Love is action. And God challenges us to do that love. And Hebrews, our verses today in Hebrews, give us this great roadmap for doing love. Listen to this again. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison and those who are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Remember your leaders. Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. These are all things we can do. And in the words of Pastor Gray Temple, when we do these things, we in this church become the front porch of God's kingdom. Now, isn't that what we want to be? I once read a blog by a woman named Karen Amon with ideas about showing love. Listen to some of her great suggestions, which can be done anytime. These are just a few of her ideas and things we can do again and again. The first is write a note, a handwritten personal note of thanks and care, not just an email. The second is make a phone call to check on someone. The third is lighten someone's load, do something just to help someone else. The fourth is help a stranger, do an act of kindness for someone you've never met before. The fifth is serve a servant. If you know someone who is always helping others, find something you can do to serve them. We can all do this. We can all pick up a pen or the phone. We can carry a load for someone else. We can all find someone to serve every single day of our lives. This is what it means to be Christ, to really love God and neighbor. This is what it means to do love. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. We have been called to do love, the love of God and neighbor, the kind of love that Jesus shows each one of us. May we do more than just believe in love or say we love. May we do love. And for the opportunity to love, all God's people can say together, Amen.